Hello there. This is CSW, creator of Incarnation Red. If you enjoy Incarnation Red and want to help keep it going, support the show on Patreon via the link listed in the episode notes down below. In return, you'll receive a variety of perks ranging from a monthly Q&A / horror gaming livestream to a chance of having a mini episode made based off of you and your fears released on the main RSS feed for everyone to hear. Additionally, all patrons receive access to an exclusive patron-only Discord server where you can chat with fans and myself, watch live streams of pre-release episode editing, and join in on regular horror movie nights. I rely on your support to keep the show going, so any amount, no matter how small, will help me bring you more scary stories more often. Link is in the episode notes down below. Additionally, if you are a fan of audio drama podcasts in general and want early access releases plus bonus content from Incarnation Red, absolutely sign up for Apollo Plus, a creator-owned platform where every subscriber helps audio fiction creators for just $10 a month. You can think of Apollo Plus almost as the Netflix of audio dramas, offering exclusive content, ad-free and early access releases, behind-the-scenes content, supercuts, and a whole lot more, all by supporting the creators you already know and love. With Apollo Plus, 70% of the revenue goes directly to us creators and provides all of us, both creator and listener, with a place to enjoy the shows we love, such as Afflicted, 13, and of course Incarnation Red, and a whole lot more. And of course, Hemophobia, my upcoming horror podcast, will be there too, so join Apollo Plus through the Apollo Podcasts app or by going to apollopods.com/plus, that's P-L-U-S. Incarnation Red is a horror anthology podcast, and thus contains material not suitable for all audiences. All content warnings can be found in the episode notes down below.
You don't want to go in there all by yourself, do you?
Incarnation Red.
Episode 34. Malediction, Part 2. The door closes fast upon... I look down, as if at my own lip. I look back up, look at their faces. I clear my throat, apologize, pick back up where I left off. I try to, at least, try to reiterate the tragedy, the cruel consequence of it all. And, in light of the way the last few weeks have gone, the unfortunate commonness of his passing. As he, my cousin, was one of the many hundreds of people killed in cold blood throughout the city of Chicago. Killed without reason, without explanation, but, tragically, without question. And funerals like this, just like the deaths themselves, are becoming all too common a sight. But that doesn't make his passing any less mournful, nor his life any less precious. And those of us gathered today know that. Know that better than anyone else. Then I fold the paper, return to my seat. The rest of the ceremony carries on, as per schedule. I sit still and watch. Stare at his face, framed atop the closed casket. After the service, I mingle from person to person, shake hands, exchange condolences. I share a hug with an aunt of mine, distantly related. I thank her for flying from so far out of the state to be here. She tells me she had to, simply had to. I nod, agree with her. Tell her I'm very glad she did so. I ask her how things have been out there. She nods, replies that overall it's been good. The conversation goes into territory of the weather. I smile, nod along, tell her the door closes fast upon... She looks at me curiously. Hooked brow, cocked head. I look at her back without speaking. without blinking. I shake my head, laughingly apologize for spacing out like that. The conversation finishes, somewhat predictably. I thank her again and move on. I walk around some more, greet a local friend of my own and of my cousin's. He slaps my shoulder, compliments my eulogy. I thank him, tell him that I tried my best with it. My cousin and I weren't all too close, but then, I suppose he wasn't close with anyone. Perhaps I just knew him the best, relatively speaking, from seeing him around the city, visiting him here and there. He nods, says he always heard my cousin speak fondly of me. I shrug, say the door closes fast upon. He asks me, what? Asks me to repeat that. I stare at him. And I don't really feel like I can talk. At least with any words that I know. He looks down at his arm, at my hand gripping it tight. Looks back up at me. Looks concerned. I remove my hand. I turn and walk away without saying anything. I walk elsewhere. Somewhere where there are no people. Sit in a vacant chair near the front of the rows. I look down at my clenched hands. I notice my mother sitting next to me. I feel her hand on my back as she asks me how I'm holding up. I turn to her, stare at her. I have no tears in my eyes. I have something like the opposite of tears. She seems to see this, and she looks at me inquisitively, an expression that grows all the more as I tell her that the door closes fast upon. I rise. Tell her I need to leave. Do so before she can reply. I enter my apartment. Take off my shoes. Sit. On the couch. My body isn't moving. My hands stay still. My eyes stay fixed forward. My lips are mercifully closed, but they all feel ready. Ready for what? I don't know, but there's a thing that I, for some reason, want to say. Out loud. Not to anyone in particular, just to say. But it doesn't make sense, really, because even the phrase itself isn't complete, let alone coherent. I mean, the door closes fast upon. Upon what? What does that mean? What place would that even have in my head? Without the final word, it's not even a sentence, technically, and what word would even be needed to complete it? And that word, well, that last word, it wouldn't cause it to make any more sense, would it? The sentence would need context, would need a greater context to give it the meaning it would possess. So what is that context? What is that word? It's the phone. I stand up, walk over to where it charges on its port. I lift, see the caller ID. It's my mother. I answer. I greet her. She asks if I'm okay. I tell her I am, just trying to take everything in. She says she understands. Says that it's hard. Asks me what I meant by what I said. I play dumb. Ask her, what does she mean? When I said what? She says, when I said, the door closes fast upon, and then said nothing more. I tell her I don't know, that I don't remember saying that. She asks me again if I'm okay. I hang up the phone. Go to lie down. The next morning barely feels like the next. Between the previous night and the current day, I have not slept at all. Have not slept, have not eaten. Have not really closed my eyes either. Who knows why? Who knows? I go into the living room and turn on the television. I'm on bereavement leave from work, so I have nowhere to be. So I sit, watch the news. Watch the same report, more or less, that has been broadcast for the last few weeks. The citywide murder rate, raised on a scale completely unprecedented. Victims are mourned. Suspects are arrested. Nearly all of them take the insanity plea, setting another record for that at the same time. Their mugshots flash by one after another. I look at each of them, at the stark, bewildered faces. I stare into their eyes.
The door closes fast upon.
It's the phone. I stand up, go over to it, pick it up. It's my friend, the mutual acquaintance between my cousin and I. I greet him, ask him how he's doing. He says he's more concerned about me. I ask him why that is. He says I seemed just a little down, a little upset at the funeral. Says he didn't know why I was gripping his arm so hard. Says he saw me sitting with my mother after I walked away. Says he's confused, worried, wants to make sure I'm hanging in there during a tough time like this. And then there was that thing I said, that thing. He can't remember what it was, but he remembers it struck him as odd, that he didn't know what it meant. He asks me what the phrase was. Do I remember? I tell him. The door closes fast upon. He asks me, upon what? I look at the shattered remains of the phone. And I decide it's time for a walk. And the world is passive. People mill about. Go and pass. Enter and exit the backdrop of my street like actors on a stage. I watch them. Look at them. Individually, paying special attention to each face like I'm looking for something. Like I'd stop one of them and ask them for it, or ask them what it is, what I'm even looking for to begin with. As if they'd know, but they... Oh, it feels like they have a better chance of knowing what it is than I do. But I'm not going to say anything to them. I've got nothing to say. Nothing besides the one thing. And it occurs to me, from nowhere, a thought seeping into my head that it is more than likely that the next word, the last word, is a person's name. And I don't know why I think that. I don't know why it enters my head. But it does. And it stays there. I finish walking. Finish staring. And I go back inside my apartment. Back to watching the news. To staring at those faces. But that evening I'm out again. Out walking in the nighttime. Not even choosing what direction I walk, just walking. Because I can't stay inside. No, I can't stay inside. I can't keep me inside my house, and I can't keep this inside my head, and I can't keep it inside my mouth. But I can't say it either. At least not enough of it. Not the whole thing. And if I could, what would it be like? Said the entire thing. What answer would it have? Would it bring to my senses? What life would it lend to me? Who would I be after saying it? What would I feel after saying it? Would it finish the feeling out? Would it bring the sentence to a close so it can leave my head? Or would it just make it worse? Sink it into my head even further. Have it claim its permanent place inside of me. Would it leave my lips but not leave me? Spread then to my eyes, my ears, my hands? And if I let it, take them, would it leave me, exit me, go from something inside me to something outside me? Could I empty myself of it? Could I bring it from my mind into this world with my hands? With my hands, I lift an empty beer bottle from the ground of an alleyway and throw it at the wall. I lift another, send it into the bricks. The door.
closes fast upon. The door 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 closes fast. I look down. The next bottle is broken, shattered in my shaking grip. I drop the pieces. Open my hand. I'm bleeding across the palm. The palm into my features. Speak into the blood. Tell me. As I walk out of the alley, down the sidewalk. And, before long, towards someone. I look at his face, and he looks at mine briefly, just glancing, then, upon second look, staring. In concern. In shock. He stops walking, asks me if I'm okay, asks if I need an ambulance. And suddenly, it occurs to me that I have not really spoken today. Not since the phone call this morning. I've been by myself with no reason to speak, and nothing to say except... But it doesn't matter. It's just a series of words. It can't hurt me. It can't hurt me or anyone else. And it can't force me to say it. To say it out loud. Take it from inside of me to outside of me, raw and bleeding for all to see. All it can do is stay inside my head. Stay inside my head forever and ever and ever. Unless I choose to do something about it. The stranger's still looking at me, but his face, it is shifting from concern to fear. So I open my mouth, reply. The door closes fast upon. really a face anymore, is it? It's broken, smashed into bits on the concrete. Bits still clutched in my shaking hands. My hands. If they can even be called mine. Inside of me that now, here, in this bloody, maddening street, completes itself with me. With my pain. With my name. But not for long. It's a bar. A bar just past closing. The bartender informs me of such with his back turned. As he mops up the floor behind the bar. And just past him is another door. A door. An open door. I go closer. Closer.
Quicker. And quiet.
The music muffles my footsteps. His back remains turned. That is, until I'm already upon him, grabbing him by the shoulders, lifting him, throwing him down into the open doorway. His head. His head. Just between the door and the frame.
I look into his eyes. And grab the knob. The door closes fast upon. Rinsing the blood off my body, off my face. And I don't even remember how I got home. And don't remember turning on the news, now audible from here. But I'm not really thinking about any of those things. Nor am I thinking about how long it'll be before someone calls the police. I'm not even thinking about how I got to this point, staring at the rapidly reddening water, covered in the violence that was conceived within me and birthed out of me into this world. I can only think about one thing. one thing ever again for the rest of my life. The last word. That last relieving essential word. I've scraped every blood-washed corner of my head for it. I've pushed my fingers into the pit of others' skulls to feel for it. But it's nowhere. I can't find it. And if I can't find it, if I can't find it, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Then I hear it. My eyes open. I turn toward the open bathroom door. I listen. I rise, stand out of the tub, step out of it without drying, walk across the tile into the living room, and I see... I see it. Splayed across the screen beneath a photograph. And I hear it spoken again. Dr. Adam Dwyer. Dr. Adam Dwyer. I stare at the screen. At his name. At his face. And my lips move. Complete the phrase.
The door closes fast upon Dr. Adam Dwyer.
And I know what I must do. And it doesn't take me long to find it. The house. Bookended with bushes. Quiet little lawn. A shining plaque by the front door with the name in full display. The address I found online, offered up by the doctor himself. Like he knows I'm coming. Like he wants me to come. And I walk toward it. I step up to the front door. I reach out. And I knock. And I step away fast, behind the corner of the house, where I can watch. Watch the front door open. Watch him step out, search for me. Then watch him turn and see me coming, all too late. But there is none of that. There is nothing. Nothing but the sound of the door. Faintly. Locking. There is silence. And the lights in the house go off. One by one. I walk further around the house, searching for another door. Another point of entry. Stepping quickly through the brush, I find another door, the back door, across his yard, so I clamber over the fence, hit the ground difficultly, but I'm there. There, just in time to hear the back door locking. My eyes search frantically, rapidly, from one surface to another until I see a window. A window high up on the house. There's something that can't be locked, at least, not if broken. I head for it, leap as high as I can to reach it, try to get my hands on the edge of it so I can pull myself up, or at least break it open, so I can drag this body across the glass, through the opening, into the house so I can find him. I hear them. Hear them in front of his house.
hear their voices. Urgent. Seeking. Seeking me. Seeking me. It matters not. I won't go back. I can't go back. I cannot let the words prey on me again. I can't let my name be the final word in that sentence. Not again. So, what other option do I have than to let it prey on them? I climb over the fence again. Go into a sprint.
The door closes fast upon.
Incarnation Red is created, written, narrated, and edited by CSW. The opening theme was written and performed by Annika Hansen. All music and sound effects used in this podcast are created in-house from scratch. For more information and regular updates, follow me on Twitter at CSW_horror or visit my website CSWhorror.com or like the show's Facebook page, Incarnation Red, as always spelled R-E-A-D. For behind-the-scenes looks and other scary content, you can follow me on TikTok or you can follow me on Instagram at Incarnation Red. Thank you for listening.